The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I'm sure you've seen it all over the news. A few weeks ago, Congress passed tax reform. And this new tax law directly impacts real estate. A lot has changed with the way that real estate is treated tax-wise. So I wanted to bring on a CPA today to talk about the changes so we can figure out what's changed and then see how we can best position ourselves to benefit from the new tax law. Joining us today is Sean McNamara. You may remember his name. He's been on the podcast before. He's a CPA and he works with a lot of rental property owners. So he spent a lot of time figuring this stuff out and he's got some great information to share with us today. So let's get into it. But first, we need to take a real quick break. We'll get a word in from our sponsor. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll talk to Sean.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's noradarealestate.com/guide.
Well, let's walk through some of the things that didn't change, because I know as this legislation was being proposed, they were talking about a lot of things, and some of the things didn't make it into the final bill. So the first one, and tell me if I'm wrong here, because you're definitely the expert in this, but the first one is the exemption for a primary residence, which I think this is one of the greatest tax loopholes out there. I've definitely taken advantage of this. But if you own a house and you live there for 2 out of the last 5 years, when you sell the property, your first $250,000 is tax-free, or if you're married, $500,000 is tax-free. Now, they were planning on changing that for 2 out of the last 5 years to 5 out of the last 8 years. But right. That didn't make the final bill, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So there was a proposal to actually extend the requirements there, as you mentioned, to the 5 and the 8. That did not make it. So it's the Section 121 exemption. Like you said, that's still in there. So for your primary residence, as long as you've lived there for 2 out of the previous 5 years, you can sell that property and you do not have to pick up any capital gains on the sale of that property, assuming that the capital gains is less than $250,000 or $500,000.
Yeah, that is a great, great benefit. So I'm happy to hear that that wasn't changed.
It's a wonderful tool. If you're willing to move every couple of years from one house to another, you know, you can essentially climb the property ladder individually and not have to pay any capital gains tax along the way.
Absolutely. There was also talk of changing the amount of time that depreciation is calculated. They were going to lower that. But that also didn't make it into the final bill, right? So depreciation schedules are the same?
Correct. So, for residential rental property, you have to capitalize and then write off the value of the property over 27 and a half years. And then for commercial property, it's 39 years. They were talking about bringing that down to 25 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that didn't make it.
Okay.
So we're still stuck with depreciating at 27 and a half.
So, I mean, that would have been a huge benefit for rental owners of residential and a huge benefit to commercial owners. But as of right now, nothing's changing with that. So,
Right. Okay. Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. And then some of the things that have changed is the $750,000 mortgage limit for your primary house, right? So it used to be that you could write off up to $1 million, and now it's 750 is the limit.
Correct. Okay. So you used to be able to claim an interest deduction on a mortgage balance up to $1 million, and you could actually even have another $100,000 HELOC, home equity line of credit, on top of that. And so they've capped that, and they brought it down to – they were actually proposing bringing it even lower. I think it was down to $500,000, mm-hmm. and then politics, and there's compromise, so they met in the middle, and it's at $750,000.
Okay.
So you can still deduct mortgage interest on a mortgage balance up to $750,000.
Okay. And then state and local taxes, that's now a $10,000 deduction. So that's your property taxes and any income tax you may have for your state. You're able to deduct up to $10,000?
Right. So prior to this bill, you could, for your primary residence, you could itemize on your individual income tax return, and you could claim any state and local taxes, or, as we like to call it, SALT. So this is real estate taxes and income taxes that you pay in your state. You could deduct those on your federal return and not have to pay tax on those amounts. Through this bill, what they've done is they've ultimately capped the state and local tax, the SALT deduction, to $10,000. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I'm in upstate New York, and New York is notorious for high taxes, the income taxes and property taxes. And so how this plays out with, will people ultimately look to establish residency in lower income tax states, and what that ultimately does to real estate markets will be intriguing to monitor.
Yeah, it's definitely going to have an effect on a lot of markets. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that all plays out. But I guess the good news for rental property owners is that those deductions don't change for us, right? So we're not limited
Correct.
In how much interest or property tax we can write
Correct.
Off.
Correct. If you record all property taxes recorded on your Schedule E are still deductible in full. It's only this limitation only applies to individuals and their primary residence. So
okay.
it's your personal home. And if you were to itemize your tax return as opposed to taking the standard deduction, and that's where you'd be faced with the $10,000 cap.
So just to make sure everyone is clear on that, so if you have a primary residence, you're limited to $750,000 for your mortgage balance. But for rental properties, you could have $20 million in mortgage interest or $20 million in property value or mortgage interest, and there's no change there, right?
That's, correct, that's, right. That's, it's considered a business venture. It's a business expense, and it's
okay.
still
Now, what
still
about
deductible.
For the HELOC? So you mentioned that for a home equity line of credit, that's not deductible anymore. We've had a lot of people on the podcast that have used their home equity line of credit to buy a rental property. Now, how does that work? Is that still possible to write off interest on your HELOC if you're using it for business purposes?
Well, it depends on what the HELOC is drawn on. So, are you taking this HELOC?
I want to interrupt the interview real quick because Sean is about to give out some wrong information, and it's really important to me that we get this right. So when we recorded this interview, Sean was under the impression that you could not use a line of credit on your primary house to buy a rental property. After we finished the interview, he looked it up, and it turns out that you can use a line of credit that you have on your personal house – to either buy a rental property outright or use as a down payment or use to repair a rental property. So that's kind of a fine point that I think is important to point out, that if you use a line of credit on your house to buy a car or go on vacation or pay off credit cards or any other personal purpose, that money is not deductible. But if you use that money to buy a rental property or do something related to a rental property, that money is deductible. So I think this is a really good thing. I'm really happy to hear that they didn't take this away from us, because we've had a lot of people on the show that have used this strategy to buy rental properties and to run their business. So I'm really happy that benefit is staying.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
There's a couple of new tax breaks that we get as rental property owners, and there's also some tax breaks you get if you own your properties in an LLC. So we're going to get into that here in just a second. But first, I want to welcome a brand new sponsor to the podcast. It's MyLandlordHelper.com. I am super excited to have them on as a sponsor. I think that they have a really awesome service that can really help you out. Let me give you an example of how their service works. So I think a good way to explain it is they are basically a virtual property manager. So say I've got a tenant that has a leaking faucet. That tenant would call into mylandlordhelper.com, and the person they speak to would have a list of all of my service providers. So they would have my HVAC guy, my plumber, my electrician, my handyman. So they're going to say, okay, for a problem with a leaking faucet, that's probably something a handyman can handle. So they'll call my handyman and they'll coordinate with the tenant to get out there and to get that issue fixed. So I don't have to be involved at all with that. They can deal with rent collection. So they've got several different options that tenants can use to pay rent. So anytime that the tenant needs anything, any phone call, anytime they're paying rent, I'm not involved at all. MyLandlordHelper.com is handling that remotely from their office. They can handle any kind of legal notices. So if my tenant doesn't pay, they can start the eviction process. They can help me with vacancies. They can get my properties listed. They can help with screenings. So there's so much that they can do, and they can do it all remotely. So I think this is definitely something that you should check out as a rental property owner. They're offering a free 30-day trial if you want to try out their service. But I think once you try it out, you're going to be really happy with it. Just go to mylandlordhelper.com. That's mylandlordhelper.com. You can get more information about how it works, and you can sign up for the free 30-day trial. Again, that's mylandlordhelper.com. Let's get back to the interview. So can you tell me how... Oh, I guess like what they mean when they say pass through business, like does that mean LLC or does that mean something else?
Yeah, sure. There's three different types of businesses out there. There's a sole proprietorship, a partnership, and a corporation. And so a corporation, a C corp, as it's commonly referred to, is not a pass through entity. The corporation makes money, pays taxes, and then pays dividends. And the shareholders receive those dividends and then also pay taxes on those dividends as well. So that's the downside to a C corporation. There's this double taxation. For pass-through entities, which is an S corp or a partnership, what you do is literally the income passes through the business to the partner or the shareholder of that business, and then they recognize that income on their individual tax returns and pay at their ordinary income tax rates. So with this new bill, they've cut the corporate rate down to 21% from 35%, and Congress had the foresight to realize that doing this, they would probably incentivize a lot of pass-through entities to start converting to C corporation status. So, in order to do that, they've also thrown a bone here to the pass-through entities by giving you a 20% deduction on pass-through income.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand what that means. So let's just say for your pass-through, so that's an LLC. So for your LLC, if you make $100,000, that first $20,000 you don't pay any taxes on. So you're only taxed as if you had made $80,000. Is that right?
The general response would be yes.
Okay.
There are caveats to that. The income has to be quote unquote qualified business income, which is not clearly defined at this point. What we do know is that it would not include capital gains or other interest. It's basically, you know, the income that's generated from the, you know, the business in doing its core business.
So in the case of our listeners owning rental properties, mm-hmm. would rental property be considered business income?
From everything that I have researched, the answer is yes.
Okay.
That would go from, you know, a Schedule E filer to a partnership to an S corp. Yes.
That's a huge benefit. So 20% of your profit is basically tax free now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome. There
would be a deduction. How it's all going to flow through, we just don't know yet. There hasn't been any guidance issued. And then usually the forms, the actual forms, you know, that we use to file, those won't come out until the fall of 2018. How the numbers all flow remains to be seen. It's something we'll discover sometime this year, later this year.
Now, what happens if somebody owns properties personally? So not everybody has an LLC for their rentals. If someone owns a property personally, should mm-hmm. they move it to an LLC, or can they get this deduction by owning it personally?
Yeah, from everything that I've seen, it would be qualified business income if it's just on your Schedule E.
Okay.
And it's not held in an LLC. Placing property in an LLC isn't a horrible idea. One of the big considerations there is that you are if the property's financed, that might cause some problems. Bank, they don't like you to transfer title when they've given you money to
right
against that asset.
Okay, so. Well, that's really good news. So whether you own a property in an LLC or you own it individually, you're going to be able to get this really good benefit, which I think is awesome.
And an LLC, an LLC it's a very versatile type of franchise. It could be a single member LLC. It can be a partnership, and you can actually elect to have an LLC taxed as an S corp. So, yes.
Okay. Now I've read a lot about bonus depreciation, and I'm not clear if that applies to us or if that is just for businesses that are buying equipment. Would that bonus depreciation apply to rental property owners? Is there any benefit for us there?
I would say the general answer again is probably not.
Okay.
I'll give you a little background on the bonus depreciation. Bonus depreciation, it's one of these tools that Washington really likes to use to incentivize business owners to spend and to buy. And so, typically when a business owner has to buy some equipment, they have to capitalize that equipment and then write it off over whatever that the asset life of that piece of equipment is. With bonus depreciation, historically, what you've been able to do is actually take a 50% deduction in the year that you purchase the equipment. And with this new legislation, what they've actually done is they've stepped it up to 100% deduction. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that bonus depreciation usually only applies to assets that have a class life of 20 years or less. So as far as buying a residential rental property, that gets depreciated over the 27 and a half years, and then commercial property over the 39 years. So those class asset lives are beyond the bonus depreciation threshold. So unfortunately you cannot buy a rental property and then write off 50% of the cost in the year that you purchase it.
Okay.
But this bonus depreciation, it can help, perhaps other people that work in real estate. If you have a property management company or you're a realtor or so forth, and you do end up buying equipment and other furnishings for your office and so forth. And so for the next few years, it is going to be at 100%, and then it steps down from there. And eventually it's set to eliminate. Again, this bonus depreciation is one of these things where they want to incentivize business owners. It's not a permanent part of the tax code.
Let's go back to the qualified business income. I saw something in there about some income limits, it was 2.5% of the value of the house or $315,000. Can you explain exactly what that means?
Yes. So this qualified business income deduction for pass-through entities, there is ultimately a cap, an income tax cap on claiming this, and the cap is around $315,000 for a married filing joint couple and $157,000 for an individual filer.
Okay. So if you make over that amount, that 20% deduction we were talking about earlier, that doesn't apply anymore? You lose that deduction?
It starts phasing out.
Okay.
There's this phase out range. And then there's other things at play. And part of it is when you own a business, you wear two hats. You're you're the shareholder, the partner in the business, but then you can also oftentimes be an employee and receive W-2 wages. And so there are some caps on claiming this qualified business income. Basically what they want to do is prevent people from gaming this deduction by, running amounts through their payroll. Versus taking it as a distribution from the pass-through entity. And so there are actually these other limitations that come into effect. It's 50% of W-2 wages, and then there's also another qualifier. It's 25% of W-2 wages and 2.5% of unadjusted basis on qualified property.
So this stuff does get complicated, is what you're saying. So you want to make sure that you have a really good CPA that understands this stuff and can do it for you. I don't want to get too much in the weeds there, but definitely talk to your CPA about this. And I think that's the whole point of this conversation, is just to make you a little bit smarter so that you can have a better conversation with your CPA.
Absolutely.
The next thing I wanted to ask you about is the 1031 exchange. There was talk of that going away, but I believe that made it into the bill, but it only applies to real estate now. Like you can't do a 1031 exchange for anything else but real estate.
Right. So, there used to be other asset lives. This is my understanding. Is that there were other assets with different class lives that you could, do 1031 exchanges on, and so those have been removed. But as far as doing 1031 exchanges on real estate, that is still in play.
Awesome.
How it affects the other class lives, I'm not sure yet. I'm still researching that.
Awesome. Well, Sean, thank you so much. This has been, I think, really good. I know I've picked up a lot of really good gems from talking to you. I really appreciate you taking some time during your busy season to come on and talk to us for a little bit. If someone is looking for a good CPA and they want to reach out to you, what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
Sure. Probably one of the best ways is either look me up on LinkedIn, or you can always just reach out via email. My email is S. McNamara at Welker, W-E-L-K-E-R, CPA, CPAS.com. And so if you have a lot of questions about this new legislation, don't email me right now. Email me in June.
Yeah,
or beyond. I'll have a better idea of what all is going on then.
Awesome. I'm sure you're going to be pretty busy here. So yeah, please take it easy on Sean. But if you need someone to do your taxes, Sean is definitely a great guy to reach out to. And if you missed his contact information, I'll go ahead and put it on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode139. Well, Sean, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll have to have you come back on here maybe in a few months when maybe some things have been updated or there's some more clarification on some of these points.
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, and thank you for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.